My name is Steve. I'm going to share for a few minutes, and then Dove's going to share. Today what we're going to do is our State of the Church address, and this is something we plan to do every year, like in our heads, but it's really something we probably do every 2 or 3 or 4 years. And basically the idea is just to talk about where we are as a church, what our vision is. We're going to review that for a little bit, talk about our vision, how the things we do relate to that vision, and that's the part I'm going to cover. And then we're going to talk about our finances a little bit, just to be open with you guys and let you know how we spend the donations that we receive and where all that goes. And Dove's going to talk about that. And then also just kind of our future looking forward, how our vision relates to that. And so hopefully it will be encouraging as we think about God's plan for us. So let's jump into it here with just a word of prayer and ask God to lead. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time. And just that we would be able to enjoy you here today, that just even thinking about your plan for the church and just how that relates to our church. God, I pray that you would help us to really live out whatever plans you have for us. And pray that you would bless us in that. Help us to know your heart and to follow you closely. And pray for each one of us as we try to figure out what part of that we play. And God, I pray that just for each one of us, we would be excited to be part of a body of believers who's striving together to do the work that you've called us into. So we pray that you would just really bless this time here and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I want to start off by talking about our byline, where the river flows, everything will live, because this is our heart as a church. We want to be a church full of people who are experiencing life and who are helping other people find life. That's what we're about. And that's what we're trying to grow into more and more. And you guys have heard this enough times that you can probably quote it, and that's okay. We are intentionally talking about this again and again and again and again because we want to have our vision really clear right in front of us, who we are and what we're doing. And so this byline, where the river flows, everything will live, comes from this passage in Ezekiel 47, where Ezekiel has a vision. Usually I just kind of skim through it. Let's go ahead and read it here today. It says, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate, facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and he led me through water that was knee deep, and he measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist." Okay, he measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Araba, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live." That's our byline. "Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Gleim, and there will be places for the spreading of nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish in the great sea, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." And so the picture there is that as this river flows, it's bringing life wherever it goes. But it's important, it starts in the temple. That's like the source of the river is God. And that's basically who we want to be as a church. We want to be a group of people who are experiencing a river of life from God. It's changing us. It's changing our families. It's changing our behavior. It's changing our marriages. It's changing our relationships with one another. As the river flows into us, it's changing our love for God. All of that is changing as we're connected to Him. And then the river keeps flowing out of us and into our community, into our neighborhoods and our places of work and our families, all kinds of different places. And so that's our hearts, to experience that from God. That's what we're trying to pursue. And so we've been focusing in on these places that we find life. We've talked about two loves and two lives. We have a relationship with God, our relationship with other people, and we have eternal life and kingdom living. I want to talk through just a little bit each one of those and how what we do relates to those things. So starting off with our relationship with God, or our love relationship with Him, Jesus said that the most important commandment was to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. So that's the most important thing. So we want to make sure that the things that we do, you know, foster that. We want to be pursuing a deeper relationship with Him. So some ways that plays out in the church, we've been in this series going through the book of Colossians. It's called New Life with Christ. We spent 4 weeks talking about this and having a deeper relationship with God. We had a practical application that we did as part of that series, where you guys put together a set of verses that you thought about when you thought about the awesomeness of God. And then we collected all those and put them in a little booklet so each of us could think about those for 4 weeks and just, you know, pray through them or just read a few of them each day and think about how awesome God is. Because the idea is, as we understand how awesome He is, that we would fall more and more in love with Him. And that was our heart behind doing that. Of course, worship is part of our expression of our relationship with God. And it's kind of like singing to Him is a pretty intimate thing. Our fiestas, I can't remember if we had any last year, but maybe January or February we snuck one in there. But that's part of the heart of that, is a time to come together in celebration and worshiping God, having communion, celebrating what Jesus did for us on the cross. Men's prayer, it actually kind of combines a lot of different things, but part of prayer is thanking God for what He's done for us. And then there's also that relationship aspect where we're supporting one another in love. And then there's the life part of eternal life. We often pray for people who we want to share the gospel with, people who we pray will come to God. And then we're talking about, you know, living the life. We're praying for each other in our daily life. How do we live in this world as citizens of a different kingdom? And let's look now at our second love, our love for other people, love for one another. In Mark 12:31, Jesus said that the second most important commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. And then Galatians 6:10, a verse we went over recently, talks about how there's a special love or special devotion and commitment that we have to our family of believers. And so, again, this was part of our series, and we went over this for 4 weeks. We actually just finished this part. And then our practical application for that was to pray for one another. And so we collected little cards. People could write down their prayer requests and then turn them in and kind of shuffle them up and pass them back out. And then everybody was going to try to pray for those three cards that they got. And I think that's been a really good life-giving thing. It makes us feel closer to one another. It helps us support one another in a practical way. And it's been a good thing. Small groups are a really important part of having deep, meaningful relationships that go beyond just the superficial of, you know, hey, how are you? Welcome to church. Good to see you. See you next week. And we want to have relationships that go far deeper than that. We want to support one another in the trials that we go through. We have a relationship with one another just in living life together, hiking and doing crafts and going out to eat and whatever that looks like. Lunch after church is actually a really strategic thing that we do, or that we used to do. And we would do it every 3 weeks. And the reason was is because we want to foster this in the church, to foster deeper relationships and not just kind of come and go on Sunday mornings. We had a reunion, which was kind of fun, with people who have been part of our church in the past, and that was a way of fostering love relationships. When you serve the church, when you serve in Sunday school, or you clean the church, or you serve in the band, or the mixing, or any way that you serve, that is an expression of love for other people, and hopefully it's also an expression of love for God, as you're kind of serving him first, but there's also this practical aspect of just serving one another. And one example of that was everyone who worked on the church building here. And, of course, JD and Michael built most of the stage here. And I think Michael's trained him on the saw there, so hopefully, I think he still has all 10 fingers, so that's good. And then we love our community as well. We do different things to serve the community at times. And then if we think about eternal life, you know, Jesus, at the end of his ministry, sent people out on a mission to go and spread the good news to the whole world. That was something that was on his heart, and he expressed it again and again. So we receive eternal life from God, and that's a way that we find life. But then we also want to help other people find that and offer that to our world. Again, this is something that we covered in our series, and we had a couple of different practical applications. We met together on the top of three hills. I call it Library Hill, and just prayed over the community and prayed that people would come to God. And then we had our testimony workshop, the idea being that we could make little booklets that we could give people, little pamphlets to tell people what God has done in our lives, or that we could make a little video where we could post it on Facebook or just show it at church, telling what God has done for us. And I think the video started maybe with this. There was a Jesus Changed My Life, I guess, national movement, and a bunch of people made videos for that. And then we've been showing some of those videos here at church with the idea of sometimes people come through church and, you know, you'd hate for somebody to be like, oh, I went to that church for 6 months and I never heard the gospel. And we wanted to, if we're going to, you know, err, let's do it the other way. Let's just make sure, let's say it every week, even if it's just a little brief overview of it, and just to make sure that people get a chance to hear the good news. And then also to remind ourselves of this amazing thing that God has done for us in rescuing us from darkness, rescuing us from condemnation, all through what Jesus did for us on the cross. We do different events where we try to reach out intentionally together. This was an event that the women did where they made different little gift bags and baked goods and things to give to neighbors and friends and things. And kingdom living. Let's read these two verses here. Romans 6:4 says, "We were therefore buried with Christ Jesus through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So, we aren't just saved for heaven, but that we might live a new life. When we get saved, God calls us into a different role, a different kingdom, a different relationship with him, a different family. Ephesians 4:22 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So I think one of the things we can do in overemphasizing maybe the next life is we forget that there's something going on now. God's called us out of our old life and into a new life that is also good and wonderful and life-giving and purposeful. And we're going to be talking about this in our continuation of our series over the next 4 weeks. There are a lot of ways that we've tried to express that, just even teaching that. If you think of like our youth group here is headed up to a conference in Salt Lake. And the idea here is we're taking our youth and we're trying to figure out, you know, what can they learn about the kingdom, living in the kingdom? What can they learn about the new life that's going to help equip them for living the life? And that's really a lot of our teachings relate to that. We had a parenting conference where we're trying to help people understand, okay, well, here's how we can raise our kids in this new kingdom, this new way of life. Dove and Holly led a marriage class, I think, at the beginning of the year. We had a series on our relationships. All those things are just like, okay, this is what life looks like now, this new life, this kingdom living. Memory Madness is a whole slew of 250 verses that we want to memorize because they help us know what God's like and know how to relate to one another and know how to live the Christian life. And then every year at the end of the year, Dove has led us in something called Blue Christmas. And I think that's kind of like helping us know how to live in the kingdom and deal with our hardships in the midst of pain and suffering, and to help minister to our hearts as we go through just some of the really hard challenges of life. And that's part of living the new life. And so that's just kind of an overview of our vision, how some of the things that we do relate to that. And Deb's going to come up and share some of our finances, which really relates a lot to just how we use our money to further that mission.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for sharing your heart. So if I don't know you, I'm Dove. So this is our hope. This is our hope that all of us are experiencing life from God. And I hope in your life you have a sense of, yeah, I'm experiencing life from God. And also that we are helping others find life from God. That the river's flowing. The river flows. It doesn't stop with us. It doesn't start with us, but it flows through us. What a beautiful adventure to be a part of. So we are going to look at some finances. This is a very fun and exciting thing as well. So some of you might really enjoy this, and some of you maybe less so, but our heart behind it, just like in 2 Corinthians 8, 18 through 21, Paul writes, he says, we're sending along with Titus. So they're sending somebody they knew. We're sending Titus. You guys know this guy. The brother who's praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. So they're sending an offering to go help the saints back in Jerusalem. And so they're taking all this money from these different churches. And so they're like, we're taking Titus with us. The churches know him. They chose him. And the reason we're doing that is we wanted to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. And that's our heart too, even just to show you guys the church finances. Our heart is that we would just do what's right in the eyes of people and the Lord. And so as we talk about finances, Steve and I were talking about this and just the heart behind it. When you give money to the Rio, our heart, my heart, when I write a check each month, is that I'm giving this to God. But I'm giving it to God through the church. And therefore, as the church, we want to be trustworthy with what everyone has given to God. And also, we appreciate, you know, you all trusting us to be faithful with that, and we want to honor that and just kind of share where that money goes and what it looks like. I don't think there'll be any big surprises, but we do this most years. And so you guys have a handout. If you look on it, you will see a bunch of different categories. I'm just going to kind of go through some of the big ones. And Steve usually does this. He asks which part I want to do, and I said, I'll take a shot at the finances. So anyways, if you have more questions at the end, please check with Steve or I. And Misty, who does our accounting, is here. She's doing Sunday school. But if there's any like really detailed questions, we can find those. But so this is just kind of the overall big picture. And so we're going to look at some of the big ones. So on there you can see benevolence. And so our budget is on the left. We were budgeted $1,000 for benevolence. And we were over by $4,700. So there was, for benevolence, was $5,730. And that's one of those that was just people gave an extra $5,000, and it was given. Most of that went to Luke and Cortland. And it's been a challenge. And I don't know, there's been something cool to walk through this with you guys. And so I know it's not easy to be in a spot where you're in need. I know it hasn't been easy for you guys, and I know I've said this before, but the money you guys have given to them has really been a blessing. And for us as a church, at least from my heart, it's been a blessing to walk through this with you. And even, you know, as we care for each other, we know, man, somebody would care for me too if I was in the same spot. And so I know in the scheme of things, with all the medical bills, this is kind of a small drop in the bucket, but this is a picture of love right here. And so that's the benevolence. The next one, just kind of a big one, conferences and meetings. If you see that, most of that, even though it shows up in our budget, most of that's in and out. So people gave money, like the youth conferences, people all pay for that, and then we just write a big check for the conference. And so most of that did not come out of tithes and offerings. It just comes out of kind of an in and out for people that are a part of those. On the insurance expenses, $2,000. Steve and I do not get medical insurance through the church. We have our own Obamacare through the system. But this is like insurance for the building, and then there's a little bit of liability if there's some kind of accusation against us or something. There's insurance towards that. So it is not medical insurance. If you continue on, the biggest expense of all in our church is payroll. And so out of the total, here's the total amount. You can see almost half goes to payroll. And so that's Steve and my salary. And so we each get half of that. And a few years ago, Steve's salary went way down for a while, but we each kind of diminished our salary a little bit. And so, as you guys know, we also do some work outside of the church. Steve and Kathleen teach Chinese students English, and I fill in the gaps with some tutoring as well and some manual labor. So, but that's the biggest chunk. As you can see, we got a raise this year, and so it's honestly been a weird thing for me to get my salary from people's kind donations. And so there's a weird part of me of like saying thank you. I thank you guys for paying my salary. And then also it's like, I know you didn't give that money to me. You gave it to the Lord. But you guys have entrusted Steve and I to do the work that you've entrusted us with as shepherds, leaders of the flock. And so I do thank you for that. And that's where a big chunk of our finances goes. All right, moving on. You can see reimbursements of expenses, $10,000. And so most of the stuff that we buy, we just buy it and then we reimburse it. And that's just way easier to do than trying to, ahead of time, get it all lined out and go through the process. And so that $10,000, here's where it went. And so sound and audio visual, that's a big chunk. So we got new monitors and some new equipment. We got new equipment for Zoom and for Facebook Live because all of a sudden the world changed and we needed to be online. And our little camera wasn't quite as good as we thought it might have been. And even now it's like, man, maybe we should get another one. But that's the way technology goes, right? Your stuff's outdated as soon as you buy it. And so that's a big chunk of it. The next one is reservations. So $1,000 for reservations. That $1,000 was reimbursed, and then that $1,000 was actually re-put back to the church, but it's still on there. We made some reservations for a camping site and for a women's cabin, and then COVID shot that up. And so that money went back, but it's still there. It was reimbursed. The building, so repairs and upgrades and stuff like that. Youth, so different youth activities. Before COVID, that includes buying ice cream that the kids give out at the park and reach out to other kids, things like that. And I'm not going to go through all these. Web, you guys know it's good to have a website, and website costs money. So it'd be nice if that stuff was all free, but I don't know. Sunday supplies, there's obviously supplies that we use, Sunday school, lots of, you know, cleaning and different supplies. And meals, I did really appreciate the lunch after church before COVID, and hopefully someday we can do that again. Yeah, that'll be good. This also includes other meals in that. Anybody bored yet? These are all really important, but we're starting to get down to the nitty-gritty. Office printing. It costs money to print stuff. We need printed materials. Copyright. This was a surprise to me when I was first a pastor. all the songs that we sing, you may see there's like a little on the bottom, it says like copyright license number. That's our license number. And then we pay for how big of a church we are. And then the people who wrote those songs or have those songs get a nickel every time. I don't know what they get. They get something from us when we sing their songs. And so it's part of a copyright program, and that we pay into that Memory Madness. It is well worth a couple $100 to reward people for memorizing verses. These kids and adults will hopefully remember them their whole lives. And so, okay, moving on. We're just going to look at a couple more big ones. Again, if you guys have questions, please ask, because we want this just to totally be in the light. So rent expenses. Our rent expenses are the buildings. So in August, we closed our other location. And so you can see that's why our budget and our actual are different. So we closed it down, which was obviously saved us some money. And then our budget for the next year will be less as well, because we just have one facility. But that's the second biggest chunk, is paying rent. And then our tithe, we tithe 10% of our tithes and offerings towards our Alliance of Churches. And then they use that for different administrative things and pastors' conferences. And they also donate some of that to work in missions around the world and things. So, and as you can see, that's not 10% of our total, because things like conferences, money that was just in and out, we don't tithe on that, because it wasn't like for our use. It just, you know, it came and it went. So, all right. And then utilities. Not only is it nice to have a building, but it's nice to have toilets in them. And so we have utilities, and we just got Wi-Fi, which will add a little bit to this, but it is nice to have all these awesome things. Anybody have any questions that you want to ask right in the, just here? We'd love to answer little details later as well. So, all right. So I think more than the little details, capturing that heart of, are we really connecting to God? Are we really connecting to Him as the source of life and experiencing life from Him? That's what, as I look ahead, that's what I want to walk into more and more together. And are we bringing life to this world through what Christ has done through us? And so as we look ahead, I just want to tell you guys ahead of time, we're not like planning on totally revamping the church. We are talking about changing the paint colors in here. So there are some changes, but we're not thinking of like, we're just going to change everything. It's like revamp. But as we look forward, I like this quote. I don't know if you guys have read The Last Battle. C.S. Lewis talks about, come further up, come further in. And he's talking about heaven, but it's talking about the further they went, it was like this new level of awesomeness. And then from there, it was like further up and further in from there, further up and further in. And even in each of these areas, that is my heart. May each of us be going further up and further in. Maybe we'll be going deeper in our walk with God. And may we be growing in our effect on our community and the world around us. And I don't really think a lot of that is like, man, we need a 15 new programs, or we need to, but just, can we really continue to just grow deeper and connect to God, and from His life, share life and taste the sweetness of Him and grab onto Him more and more. And so I'm going to just look through those four areas and just some of, what does that look like? And so in our relationship with God, drawing nearer to the heart of God, that is my hope, that each one of us grows nearer to the heart of God. I feel like God is continuing to invite me into that. Now, for me, some of that in the past few years has been some areas of healing, some places where I just got some baggage, and I still do. And God's working through that. And It'd be nice if there was like this magic prayer I could pray and it would just take care of it. But I feel like God's inviting me into that. And he's so gentle and he's so tender. And he's just inviting me closer into the heart of God. And the more I know God, the more I see how amazing his love is. How incredible his forgiveness and his compassion and his tenderness and his mercy, his grace towards me. And our hope is that each of you would connect to the heart of God more and more in this next year. And if there's ways that I could personally be of a blessing in that, even if it's just walking through some hard memories or moving forward, that's part of why we're in the body together. In our relationship with others, my hope is we go further up and further in our relationships with each other. Sometimes relationships with each other is difficult. It's challenging. And as Steve was talking about in the video about being the body, we are the body of Christ, and each one is a part. And there's two things that in that section in 1 Corinthians 12, two challenges. The first, if you think of us as body parts, hands are really awesome. You know what hands can do? So much. Like, hands can program a computer and carry a tool. And it says, what if a foot was to say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong. I could see why a foot would be like, I'm not as cool as a hand. But in that moment, it would not cease to belong. And so part of walking the body is that we would know that we belong. And eyes are crazy awesome. But if an ear was to say, I'm not an eye, therefore I don't really belong. And the more people I talk to, the more I realize we generally, often, most of us feel like, I don't know if I belong. I'm not an eye. But if everybody was an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And so as we walk forward in this relationship with each other, it's a place where we belong. And I hope more and more that you have a sense that you belong. And then the other side, it says, the eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Because we need each other. We all bring something. My hope is that we all bring what God has put in us to bring to the body because we need each other. And even as Steve shared last week, sometimes it's just having someone there that matters. Just being together makes a difference. Even if it's like, I don't know what I brought to that. You brought you. And I think that's so true. Eternal life. This is what I think it looks like to go deeper, to go further up and further in. 1 Timothy 6:9, he's talking about encouraging folks to be generous, that they might lay up treasures in heaven, to take hold of the life that is truly life. And so for us, as we receive eternal life, may we take hold of the life that is truly life. May we take hold of it. May we own it and like work out our salvation with fear and trembling. May it become that much more in our possession, that much sweeter. And here's just some things that, some practicals as we're talking about as a body to be able to bring eternal life, to share the gospel with our community. We are looking at doing some more mission trips. And so maybe local, but maybe even out of the country. We would like to invite folks into the Perspectives class, which Steve and I went through as Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. It's a really powerful class, just kind of looking at God's call for us to reach the whole world with his message. piloting some outreach ventures. So rather than asking the whole church to just come and be a part of something, we're kind of piloting some things. One of those, as men of God, the past few months or last month and then continuing on, we're kind of looking at how could we as a group just be a part of something to bring the gospel as a group. We're looking at maybe starting something on campus again. We have not had something on campus for a while, which sounds really exciting. We've been praying and kind of looking at that, especially as some of these teens graduate and go to college. And so that's really exciting. And then I've been looking at starting something with a teacher I used to teach with down around the Segundo Barrio area, kind of downtown. And so, anyways, we'll see. Maybe some kind of outreach there to the students. And who knows? It's just, we've been going there and praying for a while, but we haven't really started anything. Maybe a house church or something as well. So I would love your prayers in that, and if you want to be a part of that. And then Steve and I think Blaze and some others kind of, they started reaching out to the neighborhood up here, and so they're hoping to continue that as kind of, it's kind of a piloting thing. Before we tell you guys, hey, this is the model we all want to do, is we thought we should probably try it out first, make sure we're actually setting the pace in that. This is neither here nor there, but we talked about supporting the work of the gospel in an unreached group, like a place that's never heard the gospel, maybe in prayers, maybe just finances, adopting this group and putting our heart and energy there. I think that would be pretty neat. And so the kingdom life. So surrendering all of life to the rule and reign of King Jesus. On all of these things, the model that I see in my head, if you think of a wheel, there's the hub and then there's the spokes. So it's not like all of us go together to your workplace. All of us go to your house. It's like we are part of a body, but then we each have our own individual kind of places. And from this hub, from the strength and support and love and encouragement from each other, we go off into our homes, as parents, we go into our workplaces. And the kingdom life is this acknowledgement that Christ has started a kingdom and that he rules that. And it has already begun here on earth. And someday it's going to be completely full. And the entire new earth will be under his rule. But right now, there is like this little kingdom of God that is spread out. It's not like in one location. It's like, oh, the United States, that's the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is these places where Jesus has the rule and reign. And so that expands in our life when in each of our lives we surrender to the rule and reign. In my home as a dad, I surrender more and more to the rule and reign of Jesus, my King. In my work, in our businesses. And so as each of us does that, we're affecting the community because the kingdom spreads. We'll jump into more of that. Let's pray. Thank you, God. God, I thank you that you have invited us into this amazing place together. God, I think it's amazing that we all need each other. We're all needed. God, I ask that you would take us deeper in with you this year. God, I ask that you would take my heart deeper in. God, I pray for the places that people right here are stuck, places where they want to go deeper with you, but they don't know how. God, I ask that you would break through. I ask that the river would flow. If there's dams that we have set up or dams that have been put in place, that you would bust those out, that the river would flow through. God, I ask that you would unite us together. I pray for the excitement of reaching our community together, of being a part of something great together. And I thank you that I could be a part of that. Have your way, God. Lead us forward. In Jesus' name, amen.